pause of prayer. And Lord, as we come to the close of another year, fill our hearts with thanksgiving. As we recall the year that's passed, as we look forward to the new, constantly reminded that, Lord, you are the one who is sovereign, who is in control, who directs the affairs of man, and once again submit our lives to your calling and align it to your wonderful plans and purpose. For we ask and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you and happy New Year to all of you. Right? It's coming up, I know. And I was very sick this week, but I'm thankful that I'm able to preach to you well enough. I'm almost recovered. Glad to be back here to preach my final sermon for the year. Right? And I think that's always a privilege. But what a year it has been. In St. Andrew's Cathedral, I'm sure in this service as well, as we look at it to this local family at 4:30 service, as you recall, I'm sure there have been many highlights. You know, sometimes so many things are happening in cathedral. Cathedral is sometimes considered a mega church, right? But I, when I first came to the Lord, I was actually in a very large church. And the first church I served as a parish worker was also very large. But cathedral is a mega church in a different sense because it's very diverse. You know, you don't share the same speaker, you don't have the same worship team playing all three services. And so it's amazing when I think about all the energy, all the effort put in all our various services in the cathedral, the excellence put in, whether it's a very liturgical service or a very contemporary one like 11:30 service or middle of the road in a sense, the 4:30 service here on Saturday. Every detail is looked into, the ushering, the venues are all so different. It's very amazing to see how so many people work together and how the Lord blesses each time. In fact, over the year, the Christmas services were amazing. The Christmas Eve service, I heard, I wasn't in this room, but this was the overflow hall. Many came, they found no room in the nave, and they came here. And this hall on Christmas Eve service was packed. And some had to be moved to the prayer hall. So, you are planning to come for the New Year Eve service here, you better be early. All right, or to stay overflow. I'm not sure if on the prayer hall is full, we're going to overflow too. Be early. And of course, as always, you always say, bring a friend. And that also adds to the number. But that's all right. All right. We can always have do with more. And so with gratefulness in my heart as I look back, how the Lord has blessed us, many things to thank God for. So let's not forget what the Lord has been saying to us throughout this year. Never forget, right? As we welcome the new one. May I also take opportunity to also say, once again, thankful for everyone, members, leaders of the church, staff, everyone of you that contributed one way or another to build up this work of ministry in Cathedral. And for that, we can truly be grateful. Amen. So this year has been a year of prayer. There have been some amazing prayer events, some amazing breakthrough in prayer. I believe more to come. Next year, we want to continue in prayer. There'll be regional prayers at the end of every month. And not only that, next year, we're going to put a special emphasis on prayer bands or prayer groups. There have actually been quite a number of prayer groups meeting across the cathedral. We often build on friendship, so it's easy to pray together. But next year, we're going to open up some prayer groups, open up more prayer slots in the week, so that apart from just coming for once a month, some of you may be able to come weekly to pray for the nation, to pray for the celebration of hope, and we'll be letting you know on some of these prayer bands that are meeting. And I want to say a bit more later about something that's going to happen next Friday, which is B and Andrew, and how each of you can participate, and how this service in particular. Now, if you look to your left and right, you can realize there's room for more in this service. Right, and unlike some other services, there's room for more. And so, if you want to welcome the harvest into St. Andrew's Cathedral, this service must be one of them, right? And therefore, the need for you to be ready, to be trained as harvesters. I suddenly realized I'm on video. Wow, this is very clear, no? You can see all my white hair, all my bald spots. Okay. Right. Anyway. Distracted by that. Right, Now, as the year draw close, and we welcome another, I want to share three thoughts with you. And these three thoughts overlaps. Three thoughts are the most obvious, saying the same thing in three different ways. So this is not the usual exegetical sermon or expository sermon where I go through one Bible text, but to share with you some thoughts as we welcome the new year. And how is around these three terms: remember, redirect, and renewal. The next slide. All right, remember, redirect, and renewal as we cross into another year. All right. And then in particular, focus, of course, on our relationship with Christ, and from there, how we live our lives for Him. But firstly, to remember. Sometimes the Bible tells us to forget. True? There are many verses I can quote. It tells us that. But sometimes the Bible also tells us to remember. Right. So as the year, as we welcome a new year, naturally, whether we read the Bible or not, we just logically as human beings, we would want to forget some things and want to remember some things and carry them over the next year. Right. So imagine if I give you a list, let's have some interaction here. I have a list of things which I ought to either forget or remember. And you tell me whether I should forget or remember as I carry them into 2019 as we move forward. Right, firstly, this all facts. I cooked a terrible Christmas roast lamb. In almost, not eatable, almost. It's so embarrassing. After I cook it, I just feel like I'm never going to cook again. You know, so your cooks will realize that the failure is so terrible, I'm not going to cook again, right? Do you think I should forget or remember? Huh? Forget, I should forget or remember. I think it's one of those things, a bit of both, right? I need to forget the terrible experience and find the courage to cook roast lamb again, right, when the first year comes. But I do need to remember the mistakes I made, right? Because cooking is like science. You can't muck around. You'll be very experienced. Actually, I was very sick. That's why I didn't put a lot of effort, right? So it turned out very badly. Okay, so clearly it's a bit of a mix. Huh? I was harshly criticized. Now you can mention as a pastor. I want you to know, I receive a lot of compliments as a pastor, but in the year 2018, every other year, my fair share of harsh criticisms as well. What do you think? Should I forget or remember? Remember. Largely, I should forget, actually. Right? Learn something from it and then move on. Because very often, harsh criticisms, the emotional tone is so strong. Emotional tone, it affects you more than the factual criticism. Right? If someone is actually trying to help you, it normally won't be harsh. So I should forget. Well, thirdly, it should be obvious. I'm married to Jennifer. Remember, forget. Of course, remember. I was baptized in Christ. Remember, and especially when you hit the wash night service as Anglicans, we renew our baptism vows. I preached a forgettable sermon, just as I also cook forgettable meals. And I had some in 2018. What do you think? A bit of both. I should just keep on preaching because as a calling God has given to me, but I constantly remember to learn from the mistakes. I'm called to be a vicar of cathedral. Of course, I need to remember. I am a Christian, all right? I need to remember. Well, okay, you can pick out a list. I'm sure you can ask your wife. You can joke about it, little things, big things. But sometimes you don't filter it this way because logically we know what to do, right? We know what to do. But the Bible do urge us to remember because some things are important to recall. Some things are important to remember. Because as human beings, we have a tendency to forget about these things. Isaiah 46 verse 9 says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there's no other. I am God and there's none like me. And so the Israelites, as we God's people down through the ages, we have a tendency sometimes to forget God. Especially when times are good. We forget about the covenant we have made with Him. We forget that He is God, which means there's none other. Right, the Christian definition of God, there's none other. I think I preached that during the Christmas Day service. In the beginning, ISKCON. So there's no other gods, but sometimes we welcome other gods into our lives, right? And so we need to remember that God always asks us to remember this covenant He has made with us. And Jesus also took this point as well in the New Testament when He said, "This is my body," Luke 22, verse 19, "which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This you're familiar with because it's read every time we have a Holy Communion service. So this is my body, which is given for you. And we should not just confine it to a ritual or to some kind of sacramental duty, and we miss out on its deeper meaning. Right? Jesus is saying, "I'm offering my body to you. I've given up my life for you. I've made a blood covenant with you. I didn't sacrifice for you an animal. I sacrificed myself." So each time you partake, you have a meal, right? Which is, of course, every day. In fact, every time, a few times in the day. In other words, regularly remember what I've done for you, right? So a covenant that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Greek word for remembrance, anamnesis, right, refers to something that goes beyond recalling, right? Sometimes I use the word remember in a more superficial way. Or I promise to do that. Or, oh yeah, I'm supposed to buy you something. I will forget. But it carries with it the idea of reenactment. This remembrance is a deeper word. It carries with it a sense of when you have made the pledge, it's normally referring to something that's important. You made a pledge and you go back to the time when you made that pledge and you recenter your life around it again, right? And so when we break bread, the Holy Communion, it carries this, not a superficial remembrance, oh yeah, Jesus Christ died for me, but you gather as if Jesus is there, right? Eating bread with us, breaking bread. And remember that you have pledged your life around you. In a sense, it's a timeless experience. You remember, you reenact again that special experience. It's not that Christ is crucified again. Okay? As Protestant, we don't believe in that, of course. But this sense of recommitment again, gathering around Christ again. It's been said that the world drink to forget, but the Christian drink to remember. There's a difference when we drink. The call of Jesus is to remember Him. And that is a call to center our lives on Him. So when Jesus said, "Remember me," it's a very deep word, a very deep meaning. Be mindful of Him. Acknowledge Him. Honor Him. And of course, love Him. Each time you eat, drink, bread or drink wine, remember me. Just as food is basic to life, so is Christ. So we recenter our life on Jesus, and so we renew our baptism vows. At every baptism service, we'll do that, all right? We'll still do that in the New Year Eve service. I hope that will be done on Monday night. So as we welcome a new year, we align the new with what has gone on before us. So as a Christian, when we welcome the new year, it's a time to realign. It's a time to remember where we have come from, you see. And from then, we know our direction, you see. To remember where we have come, remember God's calling upon our lives. A past reference point, and we readjust our alignment. But sometimes we forget that we have a past reference point. We have taken a reference point from another detour, right? So we align ourselves again. So this is called alignment. The commitments you have made in the past will set the trajectory of how you welcome the year 2019. Amen. And so as you think back now, this morning, just, okay, let's repeat the baptism vows. It means that now you remember, yes, I pledged my life to Jesus. I pledge to be a Christian. A Christian means someone who follows Christ. So as you enter the next year, you may be bearing a very heavy grudge. against a colleague or someone in your family, right? And it's filling you with hatred and anger and so forth. Then remember, Christ is an example of forgiveness and love. And you know, the Bible says, we are pulling any punches. Huh? If you have not love, you are nothing. You may give yourself to the poor, you may have climb mountains and do this and do that, do miracles, raise the dead. Without love, you are nothing, right? So, you because you have made a pledge to follow Jesus, so you realign the area. And so you say, Lord, I'll choose to forgive. Give me the strength to forgive. Or it could be a bad habit that's keeping you back from walking a life that's happy, free, and holy. Right? It may be a bondage, maybe pornography or some kind of wrong relationship. But remember the life you have pledged to Jesus. And in His name, for those who are married, the pledge you also made to your wife. So it's double alignment. And so you realign again. So pledges, past pledges are very important. It helps us to correct ourselves. Remind us where we should be heading. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Therefore, as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same way they have received Him, so walk in Him. In a sense, the Christian calling is not complicated, right? Just as you have received Jesus, walk like Him, be like Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I pray that if somehow your life has been unsettled, you know, maybe work sometimes can just carry your life in a different direction. Maybe it's a wrong relationship, or maybe some turmoil in your family, or maybe some of you are so wrapped up in your studies, you have forgotten to put, you know, to view your life around the Lord. You've been skipping church and so forth, right? So yes, I'll encourage you to get the center back. As the song been sung just now, right? Jesus, put Jesus, be the center. Get the center right and revolve everything around it again, right? Be rooted and built up in, establish your life around this faith. Get back to the basics. And as the year starts, this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. Amen. Do you like me to sing a song? I promise you, this is the last song I'm going to sing for this year. Right? I love to sing this song because my first pastor, he will hold this guitar and he'll sing this hymn. So that's my man. He has since passed away. Some of you know I come from the Assemblies of God church. And my pastor, he has an Elvis Presley hairstyle. Yeah? He has a very nice deep voice. I don't have that, I can assure you. But this is his favorite song. He used to sing it, so I always remember that. But I actually like this song myself because the words are very meaningful. At the chorus, it says, "Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you have brought me from. Remember, I'm human and humans forget." Right? So at the age of 13, I gave my life to the Lord. I can recall back, as I recall back, how He has blessed me. And so I always sing this song because it reminds me of my first pastor. It reminds me of my Pentecostal roots, how the Lord has blessed me. How I must not be a stuck-up Anglican now, and I forget my humble spiritual rootage, yeah? And how He has taught me some very basic things about loving Jesus, and these things should never get out of fashion. So I'm going to sing to you. I trust you'll be blessed as well, and my flowy voice, but as they say, it's the song and the words that are more important, right? Yeah. Plectrum. Someone gave it to me. I haven't had this for a long time. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They are not mine at all. Isn't that true? Jesus, only let me use them to bring. pattern, my life, so remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtains of memories now and then, show remember, I'm human, and human forget. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can understand. Hear these kind of songs these days, Southern Gospel, Dottie Rambo, those who into the music, that's a long, long time ago. But every once in a while, especially come the end of the year, it's good to remember how the Lord has blessed us, has blessed you and me. Just remember that where we could have been, we have not followed the Lord, and ask the Lord, help me to remember. Well, secondly, brothers and sisters, redirection. The passage read for us, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has so set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Romans 13, verse 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. So redirection, and I put in bracket time, because I want to think about the idea of time. There are some people who question the existence of time. That this is just a human construct. And so I think the new year, okay, that's just a human sociological thing. And so if you do not have a calendar, we will not have Christmas or New Year's Day. Right? And that we have ascribed meaning to time. But actually, time itself has no intrinsic meaning. In fact, there was an article that was having this view in the Straits Times. This is a few years ago now. This, of course, is not a Christian view of time. In fact, this is not, I would say, our challenge. It's not even a non-Christian view of time, right? It belongs only a few who seeks to deconstruct reality. The Christian view of time recognizes that there is a beginning and an end. In the beginning, the Word was with God. In fact, under God, time or life moves with a sense of direction. So you have this interesting Greek word, teleos, which we sometimes use for discipleship, because this idea of perfecting towards an end. This teleos word carries with it both the idea of direction and an end goal. So it's a line with the arrowhead, right? It's not just a line that's just going aimlessly, but neither is it cyclical, it's heading somewhere. The history and time has meaning to the Christian, because we believe that God has purpose and direction in our lives. Whether at a micro level, in our personal individual lives. So as a people, as a nation, and certainly next year, as we think about our 200th year as a modern nation, as Christians, we have this sense of thanksgiving to God, as I written by Vickers, right? To God, because we believe that He has raised up Singapore for a very special purpose. That, of course, is a very Christian view. That's a very interesting illustration taken from Strasbourg Astronomical Clock. This Twitter at Notre Dame Cathedral in France, and this astronomical clock is very well known. Huh? The clocksmaker, he wrote a book about this, his invention, and he became a celebrity. So it is a tourist attraction. Many visitors come from afar to see this wonder. But not only was it a technological wonder of its time, it's almost more than 100 years ago, but its design conveyed a very rich spiritual, scriptural, and philosophical view of time, where temporal human life is bound to a world of growing, weakening, and aging, of years laid out one after another in the course of fragile, temporal human constructions. Life or time is under God and ordered by Him. The fragile human construction is, of course, a story told by the very clock itself, which will break down with time and will eventually will need to be repaired or replaced. The messenger itself is timed, while this message lives on generation after generation. I'm just summing for you. There are many, many stories, philosophical reflection that is built around this amazing technological clock, because there are many, many elements in this clock itself. But there's this sense of time moving under the plans and purposes of God. But today, of course, our view of time has shifted. We've lost this overarching narrative. So our clocks today are only aimed at ordering the now, to tell us when is now. Is it time for dinner? That's how you have health watches. Right, how long did I sleep last night? And so we're using time in a very different sense. Our clocks no longer convey a sense of time or our sense of mortality. Right, our own mortality is obscured by culture, and in fact, our watches are even used sometimes to extend time, as if we can control time. But of course, this is not the scriptural view of time. Our lives should not be just seen as time spent, but as time offered to us by God to believe with a due sense of responsibility. That life has been given to us to live. And with that comes a calling, a purpose, and a meaning to discover as well as to live out. So as believers, as we celebrate the new year, we have at its heart this view of time. And so we need to redirect our lives. I don't use this word to mean just say changing our direction, but to redirect and get back into what I mean to say a directed life, a life that has directedness in it, a life that has a compass in it, a God-built compass, a life that is directed by God. For we sometimes can get into a state of lostness. We can sometimes live a directionless life. We can live sometimes just for the moment. We have a sense of time. In fact, I was very much in that state these last few days. You know, when you are so sick, you have no energy to even do any work via email. So I'm no longer bothering my staff with things to do. I run out of energy. Neither have energy to read. I have no energy to even watch a TV program. So I just sit down there. I thought to myself, maybe all I can do is just pray, right? This sense of just being there and just say, and remind myself, I'm under God. My life belongs to Him. He doesn't need to be active to mean anything, right? I only need, as His creature, to worship Him and to acknowledge Him. And I'm glad for these last few days of spending time in the Lord's presence. But sometimes we can live just for the moment without a sense of time. Without recourse to the past or any concern in the right way for the future. We have no sense of consciousness about calling and where we've come from. We need to avoid living like this. We need to look again at the pledges and promises we have made. We need to think about our baptism vows, our marriage vows, the altar calls that we have made. I'm sure you come and continue to come to the altar for prayer. Because it's a very important moment in our worship life where you have made a response to God's word. You made the vow before the Lord. Because life has a telios, because our lives are under God, brothers and sisters, we need to get back into a directed life. We pin down our past that the future may have an anchor. So the new year is a good time to ask again, who is boss? Who is Lord of your life? Will you once again say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes it's a prayer you made years ago, right, as a Christian, right? My wife made that prayer 40 years ago in the Billy Graham rally, right? But do you know this is a prayer, in a sense, you can say from time to time as well. Lord, I'll make you Lord and Savior of my life. Savior, because you're confessing how much you need Him. You're never past that point that you can save yourself. And secondly, as Lord, because you acknowledge that only He can rule your life, not yourself. So the third R is renewal. Lamentations 5 verse 21, restore to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, for this reason I remind you, rekindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. A promise or a pledge needs to be renewed. Renewed means to be made new. Same promise, but it takes on a freshness. Right? The Bible talks about it by using the phrase first love. And somehow, sometimes we may have lost our first love. We need to rediscover our first love for God. Or sometimes we need to apply it in a fresh way as with time, we change and the world change. Right? So, I will be turning 56 soon. I already proclaimed our CPF year last year. Right? So, in a few days' time, I'm giving you a hint when my birthday is. But please don't give me any presents. Please don't. I'll be away anyway, taking a 2-week leave. Well-deserved, I think. December worked very hard. Anyway, why did I get into that? Oh, yes. I'm not going to say, with time, we change, you see. True? We face new situations and maybe change. So it's good to renew our pleasures, right? But when I say, Lord, I love you, at the age of 13, it's different from today. I remember I'm now the vicar of the cathedral, so I have extra responsibility. I must express my love to God also with these new responsibilities which I didn't have 10 years ago. So there's a reason why renewal is important. And renewal only brings you back to the first point, right? Yeah. As often said, in St. Louis Cathedral, we're into restoration works. We're going to restore the organ pipes, 600 over them, now being restored in the UK. Sometime next year, the 600 pipes will come back. Now, please don't expect them to sound any different. They're going to sound like organ pipes, right? This whole idea of restoration, it restored back to how it should sound, right? Now, the bells, 8 bells are going to be repaired. So when they come back, what are you going to hear? The sound of bells. Because you ring it different, it's a different sound, all right? Depending on how you ring it. But it's going to sound like bells. But it will be restored, it will look a lot better. It definitely retain its original sound, something that's faded over the years. Because of rust and so forth. And so Renewal means basically to restore something back to its original condition. And likewise, after we have spent probably 2 or 3 million, we hope we less, not more, but it's a massive job to restore the cathedral monument, it'll be white. It won't be a shining gold star, it won't be a bling-bling cathedral, as I often say. No? Nothing extra will be added, it's just white again, that's about it. You know. So renewal, brothers and sisters, is just then. And so when you renew areas in your life, maybe marriage, your relationship with God, and commitment to the church, is to clarify, to move it back to its original condition. There may be some wasting away, there may be some rusting away. It's time to clean all this up. And I like the way St. Paul said it, that this is a work of the Holy Spirit. To kindle afresh the gift of God, which in you through the laying on of hands. And later on, he'll be saying that this is a gift of God, right? That's given to us, and you can rekindle it. The Holy Spirit can bring it back to life. The Holy Spirit can renew and make new again what has perhaps gone a bit stale. Remember, redirect, and renewal. I'll just leave just three, today's sermon is not complicated, but just three simple thoughts with us. We are very excited about next year. Next year is a very, very special year. By the way, next year is just a few days away. All right, it's not very far away. It's a year of opportunity. It's a year that can transform not just the nation, but also change cathedral for good. It's a year that we're going to teach us how to love, how to share the gospel, and believe God for a fresh revival, and something for the next generation especially to experience. And here in the cathedral, we have taken some very bold steps. We're trying to get other churches to be excited as well. One of the bold steps we've taken is that very quickly, as the year turns, if you turn to page 7, you find that we are starting on the 4th, which is next Friday. B and Andrew equipping for evangelism. I won't go to all the details. You can see why it's there. And there's a team led by Dickness Bessie. They put a lot of hard work, dedicated hard work to prepare this three training session. As I shared in my vicar's strike about 2 Sundays ago, that we need to go attend it as a group, you see. You don't go alone. Attend as a group, seek ways to be trained of how to share the gospel, what you can do to bring, invite someone to the stadium. So 3 evenings on Friday nights of training. Now, if your CG group is meeting normally for the week, so remember I said, if nothing, you don't change something, nothing will change, right? And so this year, the connect group has to meet differently to prepare for Celebration of Hope. And one of them is, therefore, is to not to meet as per normal, but to gather in church for this training. So, and this gathering is not just about receiving practical skills or being equipped to do something, but it's also about catching a vision. As we pray, as we worship together, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, we'll catch a fire together. So do take note of this, because, and then of course the last Friday evening of January will be a regional prayer, and we're expecting this hall to be fairly packed, people gathering in prayer. And so it's going to come early next Friday. So school starts, I know, you need to send your children to school, and some connect groups have not been meeting because of the holiday and travel. I want to encourage you to be there. Now, you don't need to be part of a connect group to come. If you're not in a connect group, by all means, just come up and come anyway, right? And we will form some groups for you to support each other and learn together. But very important is that we need to keep in step with the Lord and not miss this opportunity this year to make a difference. All right, so we have all the same time. All of us are 24 hours. It's just what you do with it. And these are some of the different things you can do to ensure that this next year will turn out different. And along with Pastor Freddie, the rest of the staff and leaders of this congregation, we want to believe God that this one congregation that we will be ready to welcome believers in. Amen? Amen? Partly because we have room. a lot of car park spaces, a lot of Sunday school spaces, right? Unlike all the other services, it's a mad house, as you can imagine, on Sunday. But this service, we can tell someone, come. This is so special, you can come and have coffee first. You know? Where's the cafe is open. I probably drop into the service. And so this is a great service to bring a new Christian to. And I want all of us here, this congregation, amen, to be ready to be harvesters. And this January training will prepare us in a very special way. So why don't we stand as we ask the team to come. If you have prepared a song, that'd be great to sing. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's commit our lives to the Holy Spirit again. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and grace. What lead us through just some, and I believe next week you're more thorough covenanting service with Pastor Freddy, but just lead us to one or two prayers as we welcome a new year. Firstly, will you surrender to the cross? One thing, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you can truly, truly forget. Because God does not remember. That is your sins, our sins. Will you lay down your sins before the cross and don't keep carrying on your back and try to be your own savior because you can't? You put it at the foot of Jesus. We ask Him to forgive you. Receive His grace once again. You're doing this because you remember that you have pledged your life to Jesus. That you want to be faithful to Him. Not just 10 years ago or 2 years ago, you're faithful to Him. As we welcome a new year. We just reach out to the Lord. As we welcome a new year, will you say, Lord, hold me. Help me that may not be just held back sentimentally by things that happened in the year 2018, be emotionally dragged down and not able to hear the voice of the Lord as they're saying, move on, because I have greater things for you. You stretch out to the Lord and lay hold, because His plans for you are good, His purpose for you are good. And you want to live out that plans and purpose in and through your life. You hold, reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, let your will be done. Hallelujah. Each one of us here in this room, we are growing older. Amen? We are growing 1 year older. But you say, Lord, every new year, there's a new challenge. A new milestone that you want me to reach. Hallelujah. None of us has finished the race. We are still in the race. There's a new milestone. Lord, lay hold of it in obedience to your calling. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Will you just commit yourselves to Him once again?